need some help. In verse 3, they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." And in verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, we're just going to take a few points from here, that these men understood the importance of sharing the burden of service. They understood the importance of sharing the burden of service. Let me ask you tonight, do you understand that importance? How important it is to get involved. How important it is to serve God together and do more for the cause of Jesus Christ than we've ever done before. The disciples themselves knew they had limitations. They knew there was almost so many hours in the day, and that if they were to take on another responsibility, that their Bible study would suffer, that their preaching would be lackluster. I think this speaks to the importance of some things here tonight, and the first thing is dependability. You understand that the work must get accomplished, and if no one does it, it falls upon the leadership. I'm not saying that to complain. I'm just saying that if a job is not getting done, then I've got to point at Calvin and say, "Hey, you got to go get it done." I got to talk to Pastor McDonald and say, "Listen, somebody didn't do their job this week. We got to go get it done. Somebody didn't cut the grass. Get out there and cut the grass. Somebody has to do it." I understand that if I'm preaching on Sunday and I want to take a day off that week, that I still got to get my work done regardless. I still have to study just as much, and I still have to prepare just as much, and there's all the other things that have to be done. Sunday's coming. We have to be dependable. The Bible says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." God wants us to be dependable in the things we do. Let me encourage you for something, friend. If you get involved in the ministry, be faithful to it. Be faithful to it. When I was in Bible college, my first year, Dr. Strachan gave me a book, and it listed all the churches, independent Baptist churches that he knew of. It was a directory of all the churches in the United States. I went to college in Missouri, and I opened up to Missouri and opened up to Springfield, Missouri. Springfield, Missouri is about the size of London, Ontario, I believe. It's about 140,000 in population. And in that day, they had 50 independent Baptist churches. That was in a town of 140,000 people. And so he had put, he said, "Now, here's a list of 50 independent Baptist churches." He says, you can try them out. You can look them up. And he says, "See which ones you like." And he says, "You're going to have to pick a church to go to." Well, it's funny he said that, because he didn't mean that. He gave me a list of 50 churches, but he put a star beside three of them. And he put three stars beside one of them. Amen? And with a little note, "You can go to any of these churches, but these are the three I would pick." And of course, I knew that my pastor was saying, "You need to pick one of these three." So I went to the first one, Cherry Street Baptist, and I don't know why, but it just didn't seem like that's where the Lord wanted me, and I ended up going to Baptist Temple. Baptist Temple. Pastor Bill Dowell had pastored that church for many years. He preached for us here at Bethel. His son was now the pastor, and I just kind of felt comfortable there, and I it was a church like ours, and so I walked the aisle, and I joined the church, and I was excited to be a part of there, and I was so excited I got involved in things, and I got involved, and I was in the Awana ministry, and I was in the bus ministry, and I taught a Sunday school class, and I was in the choir, and I was in five different ministries. And in about 2 years, I was done at that church. And I realized I had completely burnt myself out. He said, "What do you mean, burnt yourself out?" I was never hearing the preaching. I was never in the service. I was always involved in a ministry here, there, or there. And so one night we went to a baptism of a friend that was, a friend of ours was baptizing his son at a church. And we went to the church and we sat there and we heard the preaching and we fell in love with this little church. And I said, "This is the church we need to go to." It was right at the beginning of a semester. So we changed over to Hillside Baptist Church. And I went back and I talked to my pastor and I said, "Listen, we're moving over here." And he says, "You've burnt yourself out." He says, "It was on my agenda when you came back to school this fall to call you into my office and tell you to quit some of the ministries you're in." He says, "You're in five ministries." He says, "You cannot be faithful to everything." And he was right. I learned the hard way that to do something well, we have to apply ourselves to it. And practices were conflicting, and bus ministry was conflicting. When I was supposed to be on the bus, I was also supposed to be teaching a class here, and things were just conflicting with one another. Let me encourage you to do something. Pick something and do it well. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. apply yourself to it. But let me say this, be dependable. Boy, it's discouraging when you're involved in something and just don't show up. Be dependable. These men were of a good report. I think that means they were dependable. They showed up. They were the faithful of the church. I think it speaks to the importance of dependability, but it also speaks about accountability. The congregation chose the first servants, and those servants were accountable to the congregation. You'll notice that the disciples said, "You go ahead and choose them. We don't have to have a part in this. We're going to trust you to choose out men that are full of the Holy Ghost and of a good report. You pick them and you get them busy in the church and you get going for God. They're going to be accountable to you." You know, it's important that we're accountable to our local church. It's important that we understand that if we have a ministry, we have an idea, we have to say, "Hey, listen, let's talk about this. Let's run it by the local church. This is God's church." We want to be sure we're doing it His way. But I also think it says that the importance of this service means it's a privilege. It was a privilege to serve the Lord in this local church because only 7 were chosen. These men were picked because of the ability that they had, but more importantly, because of their surrender to the Holy Ghost of God. And it was a privilege to serve. Years ago, we were awakened, my friend, the first time I ever met. Some of you have met. Jim Arnold has preached here, and I said the other day, he just happened to be up in the area, in Buffalo area, so we went over and had lunch with him. And Jim is a barrel of laughs. I mean, he's one of my best friends in ministry, but if I'm ever discouraged, he just has the thing to say to encourage you, you know. And so years ago, when I very first met him, he called me. Pastor Massacre had gone, and I had taken the church in September of 1998, and this was spring of 1999. Pastor Massacre just simply forgot to tell me that he had a missionary scheduled 6 months later. And so I get this phone call, and it came through the church phone line, but it patched through to my phone, and I answer, "Hello," and he goes, "Hi, this is Brother Jim Arnold, your missionary to Ivory Coast." He says, "We're here." I said, "You're where?" He says, "We're in Stony Creek." I said, "Where are you in Stony Creek?" He says, "We're on the corner of Queenston Road and Centennial Parkway." And I stood out on my balcony of my apartment. And I looked across the street. I said, "Are you in a little red truck?" He says, "I am." I said, "We're right across the road." That's how we met. And you know, he came into our home and disrupted our home like you wouldn't believe. This guy, but he had 2 little girls with him. Julie and Jackie. And Julie was about, she had her 12th birthday while she was with us, and Jackie was about 9 years old, and she was just a little terror. I mean, she was fun. A lot of fun. Just that look in her eye, you know. But one thing I learned from Brother Arnold on that trip is every time we'd sit down to a meal together, they'd come to our home, we'd get food out, and we'd sit down to meal, and he'd say, "Okay, girls, we get to pray." Did you hear what I said? He didn't say, "We have to pray," or "It's time to pray. Oh boy, here we go. We got to pray again." No, he says, "Hey, we get to pray." Boy, I learned a lot from that. What a privilege it is to be able to come to the Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord. I think these 7 that were first chosen, they must have been so excited. The Bible says this, the saying pleased the whole multitude. They got excited about it, because it's such a great privilege. And so they understood the importance of sharing the burden of service. They understood the importance of the service itself. It was important service. You know that there are requirements in the Bible for pastors. You've all read them. Timothy and Titus. There are requirements in the Bible for deacons. God holds His service in high regard. These men were to be full of the Holy Ghost and of a good report. Men of wisdom, it says in verse 3. They were to be of an honest report. That word honest report, it means to be a witness, to bear witness, to affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something, or that he knows it because it's taught by divine revelation or inspiration. When I think of the word honest report, I thought it meant that they had good character. But what it means is that they were honestly reporting and witnessing about Jesus Christ. They were faithful and true to the Word of God. That's who they were looking for. Hey, a servant ought to be a soul winner, telling others about Jesus Christ. The Bible says they're to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, we can't make enough mention about being filled with the Spirit of God. Everything we do ought to be guided by God's Spirit. Every decision that we make ought to be prayed over and seeking God's will. We ought to be surrendered to God's will in any service we do in the local church. Listen, if you haven't prayed, you're in trouble. Pastor Connor and I were talking, and he has been out in Vancouver for over 30 years now. I believe it was 2012 was their 30th anniversary in Vancouver, so they've been there about 32 years. And he was put out a little email, and he said, you know, I remember coming to Bethel, and I remember and how many years, and what a blessing it's been. He was just sharing a little bit of testimony. And I remember the first Sunday the Connors came to Bethel. I don't know why, but I can remember sitting on those old pews in Maple Street and Brother Connor coming up, and he had that little skinny mustache. Do you remember that? And Bert Chaparral leaned over to me and he says, he looks like Hitler. I don't know why he said that. He was working in our Sunday school class and he said, he looks like Hitler. And I never forgot that first day. And so I told Brother Connor, I remember that first day. And he said, oh, I feel so old. I said, I was 5 years old when you came. He was telling me this while I was out in Vancouver in March. He says, you know, the first time I met Dr. Strachan, he says, we had a problem with our moving vehicle. And he says, we got to Simcoe a little later than we wanted to. And he says, he came by the house and just, you know, hi, how you doing? Good, glad you're here. He says, I've already been up for an interview and we'd already been hired and all that. He says, but this was my first time moving here. And he says, it was going to be our first service together. And so he said, I got there Sunday morning and he says, we came in and we're walking out and going out to the platform. And I said, hey, Pastor Strachan, aren't we going to pray before we go out there? And he goes, if you haven't prayed yet, it's too late. And he says, he taught me to be prepared, to have my heart prepared, not just 2 minutes before you walk on the platform, but to spend some real time with God. He says, after the service, he took me aside and he says, Gordon, he says, we need to be prepared all the time. He says, we're not to jump in and out of the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. Brother Connor shared that with me, and boy, I learned a lot from that as well. So often we think we can ramp it up and pray, oh, let's get ready for the service. No, walk in the Spirit all the time. Be filled with the Spirit of God and be prepared in your hearts. That's how important the service is. These men were not chosen and then told to go out and get filled with the Spirit of God. They were chosen because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Did you hear me? Well, Pastor, why don't we get so-and-so involved? Are they walking in the Spirit? Are they reading their Bibles? Are they praying? That comes first. Let's not dangle carrots and say, well, if you'll do this, we'll let you. No. Let's choose those that are exhibiting the Spirit of God in their life. Then the Bible says wisdom in verse 3. The knowledge and practice, the requisites for godly and upright living. Notice the order. Those who exhibited these qualities were chosen to serve, not the other way around. They weren't given a job and then said, go get filled. They were to understand how important the service was and be filled ahead of time. They understood the importance of service, but they understood the excitement in service. Verse 5 says, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. The church got excited about the opportunity to serve God. They were happy that we were going to now let some others, not just the disciples, not just the preachers of the word, but we get to get involved. We're going to choose some folks and they're going to teach us how to soul win. And we're going to go knock on some doors and we're going to get excited about the things of God. Are you still excited about the things of God? Boy, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think I'd get more amens if I did backflips up here. My mom used to have an expression. She'd say, what am I have to do? Stand on my head and spit nickels? Is that what you used to say? Maybe if I did that, stood on my head over here and spit nickels, she's going to deny it, but she's taught that to me. If I did that, maybe I'd get more amen. Hey, get excited about the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, good night. Lord, I've never seen anybody so excited vacuuming the church hallway as Lori took. She's out there singing. We're in church talking about the goodness of God and the resurrection from the dead and the blood of Calvary being shed for our sins. And we're like, yeah, that's good. Come on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's God's will. We get excited about service. I want you to notice as the number of servants increased, so did the number of disciples Do you notice that? Look what it says. Read down with me in verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Wow, we have a hard time winning those religious groups. Maybe if we got excited about service and we got doing what we should be doing and the Word of God begins to multiply. Do you think the Word of God has any bounds? Is there anything that can stop it? God has promised that the Word shall not return void, but it will accomplish the task thereunto I sent it. God has a promise. But we need to be faithfully serving and pressing forward with the Word of God. Their work even reached the priests. They had the ability to do many of the same things that the apostles were doing. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was a gifted man who went out and used his gifts for the Lord. Now the term pastor means shepherd. The term deacon means servant. Do you know other people can serve as well? It's not just the pastors. We all ought to get involved. Pastor Doug Wood told me years ago, when I first met him, I didn't know much about his church. And I said, Brother Wood, I said, tell me about Harvesters Baptist. I'd never heard of it before that. And he began telling me, he says, well, Harvesters Baptist is like this. He says, a lot of times the deacons preach and the preacher deeks. I got thinking about that. I thought that's pretty good. In other words, we all just kind of work together. Sometimes the deacon preaches. Sometimes the preacher goes out and serves. Whatever we have to do. If you met Pastor Wood, I'm sure most of you have met Pastor Wood. He is one of the most unassuming guys you'll ever meet. He's quiet. He's just kind of there, isn't he, Brother Calvin? There's nothing extraordinary about him. I'm not saying this to insult, though. I'm just telling you the truth. There's nothing extraordinary about his character, his personality, or anything, is there, Brother Baker? You might be surprised if you met him, and he said, well, I pastor. You pastor? You get up in front of people and preach? Because he seems shy, reserved. But boy, has he ever turned out some people. Some of his young people are the sharpest in Canada. We have seen time and time again the godly people coming out of that church. And I say, it's because all those people are serving together. And they're trained to do something for God. We went in that church and I sat on the front row Sunday night. There must have been about 80 people there. And they sang. And you ask my wife, I'm telling the truth, it was like in a magnificent choir. I never heard church singing like that. Incredible. Everybody in the church sang a part. I mean, they'd all been trained and they were singing. Incredible. Beautiful. But they decided as a church, we're going to work together. We're going to serve together. Stephen went out. He took this new commission and he was full of faith and power and he did great wonders. He said, I'm going to do something for God. Doesn't have to be just the disciples. Doesn't have to be just the preachers. I want to serve God too. You know, oftentimes when we serve, we feel like we're not qualified. I told you about a fellow that every once in a while I'd say to him, he was a deacon in our church. I'd say, hey, when I'm going to be away on vacation, I said, would you preach on Wednesday night? He'd say, oh, preacher, I'm not qualified. I said, that's exactly who God wants. The humble, the one that says, I'm not able, I'm not worthy. Listen, humble ourselves before God and understand how important it is to serve Him. You know, it should not be demeaning at all to serve God. It shouldn't be. I mean, I don't care if you're cleaning toilets, raking leaves, or if you're out winning souls to Christ. I mean, what a wonderful privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'll close with this illustration. Years ago, we had a family in our church, Pat and Madeline Patterson. Pat was his nickname, Pat Patterson. And Pat was just a faithful guy. I've told you about him before. He got Alzheimer's very, very bad. So bad he didn't remember his wife's name. One time he took his little canary out of the cage and he plucked every feather out of that canary because he thought it was the chicken they were having for dinner. And he just lost all of his faculties. But man, you go up to him and say, Pat, can you tell me Psalm 27? The Lord is my strength. And boy, and the Lord is my light. He'd quote that whole, and it was amazing. People would go by him after every service. He'd sit there every service and he'd just see he couldn't understand a word of what was going on. And they say, Pat, tell us Psalm 27, tell us Psalm 23, tell us Psalm 91. And he would quote the whole scripture. And his wife would sit there with a big smile and she'd say, you know why he can do that? Because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. She says, his mind is gone, but his heart's still there. Years ago, Pat and Madeline Patterson were saved under the ministry of Oswald J. Smith. They were part of the People's Church in Toronto. And every Saturday, Pat would go out and he would take his accordion and he'd stand on a street corner and he'd sing gospel hymns and he'd draw a crowd and then he'd preach to them every single week. He wins souls to Christ. I never knew him when he had his faculties like that, and I wish I could have known him then. And after one Sunday service, he was sitting there and people would go and talk to him, make sure that they acknowledged he was there and were friendly to him, and he was quoting scripture to somebody. And I stopped by to shake his hand and I said, I've never asked you this, Brother Pat. I said, tell me, of all the scripture you've memorized, what is your favorite scripture in the Bible? And his wife looked at him. He just kind of looked at me. He didn't know what to say. And she looked at him. She says, Pastor wants to know what your life verse is. Oh, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. A servant's heart. He said, all I ever wanted to do was usher. She said, all he ever wanted to do was usher. He wanted to greet people and shake their hand and welcome them into church. He didn't care if he got up on the pulpit. He didn't care if he sang the solo. He just wanted to be a doorkeeper in the house of his Lord. That's a servant's heart. God bless that family and bless that man. One of the godliest families I've ever known in my life. Because he had a servant's heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have of serving the Most High God. God, speak to our hearts tonight and move us to do more for you. Move us to have a servant's heart, to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be of a good report, to have wisdom, and to take those gifts and to put them into action and reach a lost and dying world for Jesus Christ. Father, bless us, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this evening. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm just going to let you do business with the Lord tonight. I'm not going to say much. If God has spoke to your heart, would you spend some time with Him? At this altar, in that place, it doesn't matter. But would you do business with God? You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. I pray that you have a wonderful week. Don't forget our anniversary services next week. Pastor McDonald's going to come give you some announcements. If you have not signed up for the banquet, you need to do that before you leave tonight. My mom says about 100 have signed up. Probably 200 will show up. All right? So if you know of somebody that's coming, call them. Get them to call Cindy this week. Make sure we know, because I've got dibs on a piece of pie, and I'm not giving it up for a visitor, all right? So just to say that. All right, no. Let's make sure we have enough food. In all honesty, we don't want our visitors to go without food. So let's make sure we have enough food for anybody that's coming. So please sign up and let us know. And we'd appreciate that so much. Don't forget, next Saturday night, 6 o'clock, banquet here at the church. Looking forward to a great time. The Lake family will be here singing, preaching. Next Sunday morning, the Harris family, missionaries to Peru, will be in our morning Sunday school hour right here in the auditorium at 10 a.m. And then at 10:45, our morning service with the Lakes. We're going to have a great time. Next Sunday night, we're just going to relax. We're going to have lots of good music and good preaching. Just come and enjoy, all right? We'll have a great time. Bring a visitor next Sunday. Bring a visitor to church and let them be blessed by everything that's going on.
Amen. Just about shouted amen when he said pie, you know. You don't have to spit nickels, Pastor. Just bring pie. That'll do it. That'll do it. Well, Pastor said most of the announcements. Again, I want to remind you, nursery workers are needed for the Living Christmas Tree, the cantata that's coming up this year. Please sign the bulletin board outside of the nursery, and let's get that started again. We'll go prayer in just a minute. I just wanted to say, you know, I just got involved with Bethel Baptist Church at it just before its 50th anniversary, and that's, what, 32 years ago. I'd been saved long before that, but I got married, and Lil and I just started coming out just before the 50th anniversary, and I thought that was a big thing. I thought that was, 50 years now seems like nothing. We're up to 82. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, I just want to encourage you to come on out and be a part of next week. I'm glad, tonight was a great service. I don't know about you, but it spoke to my heart. And we need to be praying for people and one another and encouraging one another, serving one another. And it's very important we do that. So 82 years, come on out, be a part of it. Please sign up. If you can't sign up tonight, you just can't sign up tonight, you don't know, the earlier you can this week, the better. And again, as the pastor said, it's just so that we can be prepared. We want to have a good turnout. We want to have everybody able to be relaxed and prepared ahead of time. So keep that in mind, and we'll have a great time next week for sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the message tonight, Lord. We thank you that the church, your church, has been around for 20 centuries. And Heavenly Father, as dynasties have come and have fallen, and as governments have risen and fallen, the church still goes strong, even in these latter days, even as we face the persecution, even as we glory in our own flesh and in our own wealth, Lord, you're still working amongst us. People are still being saved, added to your church, and witnessing boldly for you. Father, we just pray for Bethel Baptist Church. We need your strength. Help us not to have the flesh here. We need the Holy Spirit. We need your power. So, Father, we just pray for each individual and every family here that you would strengthen us from within through the Holy Spirit. Give us safety on the roads now as we go home. May we go rejoicing, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you now as you go.